movies, and more at the Nashville Public Library is online at halfthestory.org.
Nashville weather for today, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies and a high in the mid-90s. Right now, it's 79 degrees in Nashville at 9 o'clock.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, servicing cars and trucks with factory-trained technicians at locations nationwide. Learn more at quicklane.com.
And Just Answer, whose website lets people chat one-on-one with professional mechanics, doctors, lawyers, and other experts 24/7 at justanswer.com. And
Esurance,
offering tools to help customers track car repairs online or with a smartphone.
Esurance Car Insurance at esurance.com.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Modern Times Department here at Car Talk Plaza. Enlighten me, brother.
You could call it Modern Times. It's one of those Washington Post invitational things.
Uh-huh.
They ask people to propose ways to make modern life harder than it needs to be.
Okay.
It is no longer sufficient to clean up after your dog. By law, you must catch the offending substance before it hits the ground. Introduce 17 to 29 item lanes at the supermarket. ATMs will require a urine specimen. Never mind.
I've seen that done.
Don't go there. Standardize the size and shape of all keys, so the only difference between them is the variation in the teeth. All pills must be suppositories. Bicycle pedaled flush toilets. And my favorite, the high-occupancy vehicle lanes will now require 3 humans, a dog, and a family of chickens. How will they know if it's a real
what
family?
What constitutes a family of chickens?
I know. Well, is that like a mother, a father?
Is that like a brace of pheasants, an exaltation of larks, a family? I mean, a family.
It's not a it's brace, have at least, it's a brace of
no,
pheasants?
No,
it's a brace of oxen.
Jeez. I thought it was a team of oxen. Oh, anyway, I guess a family of chickens would have to be at least 3.
A family? Or what if they haven't had, what if they...
Empty nesters, so to speak.
Oh.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 1-888-CAR-TALK.
Will you get serious here?
I'm doing my very best. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rob Warney from Tennessee.
Hi, Rob. Are you talking from like a tin can?
Close to it. I feel like I've been there most of my life.
Oh, you're in the bathroom?
Yes, absolutely. What a better place to call you guys from.
Why not?
So whereabouts in Tennessee are you calling from?
Beautiful Nashville.
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 All right. What's happening, man?
Well, I've got a 98 GMC Yukon, and when I put it in drive and travel forward, it sounds like there's popcorn coming out from underneath my vehicle. My local car shop has told me that my transfer case is going out. Now, my question is this. Being that I never use four-wheel drive because I'm fortunate enough not to live in an area that it snows, do I have to get that changed, or should I go ahead and drive it in two-wheel drive until...
You can select, right?
Yes.
But you... So when you have it in two-wheel drive...
Yes, sir.
It's fine. No popcorn.
No, it still makes that sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Hold on. Really?
Really.
I didn't like that answer, did you?
Yeah.
No, so like... what's the advantage of... Well, obviously, there's no advantage to having it in two-wheel drive.
So why does he think it's in the transfer case?
That's just what they told me.
Did he crawl underneath there? Did he sling himself under the car while you were driving it?
I have no idea. They've done some other work for me in the past. I'd ask him to check out the noise, and it literally sounds like I'm making popcorn.
But and it's constant? Pop, 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 pop.
It's not pop, 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 pop. It's more like... I've been practicing that.
The real important question here is, can you drown it out with the radio?
Absolutely.
And then do it.
Yeah, well, I have a funny feeling he's probably right.
Okay. Yeah,
even though the front drive shaft isn't turning when you're in two-wheel high, there is power getting transmitted to the transfer case. It's just not getting
sent out.
Okay.
But it comes in, and that's probably what makes the noise.
At some point, you're going to have to fix it, I think. And I hate to tell you this, but I think if you wait, you're going to break the case.
Oh.
Because I don't know how.
Well, I'm going to have to replace the whole thing anyway, aren't I?
Well, maybe at this point you may be able to get off cheap, you know, $1,500, $1,600. But if you wait, it might cost you more than that. As hard as that is to believe.
Oh, no. I've already checked into prices of them.
Yeah, what did they say?
I can find a used one for about $800.
For the part?
Yes.
Yeah, and then a few hundred to put it in.
$200 labor?
Yeah. I mean, if it breaks, is it going to cost me any more?
Well, no. If you are willing to put in a used one, then it won't cost you any more to wait until it breaks.
Okay.
But what's going to happen, I believe that thing is probably driven by a chain.
Okay.
And that's what's probably making the noise.
Okay.
And when that breaks.
Now, when that breaks, is that going to leave me stranded somewhere?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's fixed then. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you'll get a warning, though, when the noise gets worse. You'll know it's time to do it, but why wait?
My other question is this. I have a boat that I pull with my Yukon.
Uh-huh.
I still pull my boat with the transfer case out, or going out like it is.
What do we care?
As long as you're not behind me, right?
It's probably not going to make much difference.
Okay.
Except that when you break down, you got a boat behind you.
Right.
You can't just thumb a ride.
Yeah, it's going to cost you $1,000 to get towed with the Yukon and the boat.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I could just get a ride, tow me down to the lake, and I won't have to worry about it.
There you go. You can get yourself home in the water.
Absolutely.
Well, good, Rob, you've created a nightmare for yourself.
Thanks.
But I'm confident that you can extricate yourself from this.
Absolutely. It's not the first, nor will it be the last.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Seychelle from Austin. How are you guys doing?
Seychelle?
Yes.
Like the islands?
Like the islands.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We don't have to ask where you got that name.
Actually, yeah, my parents traveled around the world for their honeymoon, and that was their favorite spot.
No
so I got
kidding.
The name, yeah.
And where are you from now?
From Austin, Texas.
Because they didn't Austin. Spend much time in Rangoon.
Yeah. Or Spokane.
So what's up, Seychelle?
Well, I drive a 98 Toyota Camry. Mm-hmm. And I start up the car, I put it in drive, and about every 10th time or so, my car will just make a noise. It makes like a grinding, not a grinding noise, but like a sound your car would make in fourth gear. Sound, except my car doesn't have four-wheel drive.
Is this a stick shift or an automatic transmission?
It's automatic.
It's automatic. So you put it in D.
So I put it in D, and I start to drive, and it starts out, and it's almost like it's the engine is cold, except it's in the middle of summer, and it just drives really slowly, and then after about 20 feet or so, it kicks in the normal drive.
And is the noise like this? Brrr.
Yeah, kind of. It's almost like a noise. I think like the car
recalled. You know what that noise is?
Huh?
Before I tell you what I think it is,
yeah.
I'm going to ask you if you've done anything as drastic as maybe checking the transmission oil level.
Actually, I just had all the fluids changed in the car less than 2 months ago.
And this has happened since then?
Right.
Haven't checked the fluid level since the noise started?
No.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You think it's down?
Well, the noise you're hearing
right.
is the transmission grinding itself into pieces.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that good news?
That's wonderful.
But if you're lucky and you've caught it in time, you're going to have to hang up the phone maybe now.
And
run out.
And check the level, just because this is an oft-made mistake.
Okay.
That people assume because the fluids were changed and obviously refilled, then
right.
it couldn't possibly be low because
right.
it just got filled up. But that's the time to be most suspicious.
Okay.
Because that's when the mistakes are made. I mean, it hadn't been leaking when you went in.
Right.
So they changed the fluid, and maybe, just maybe, they damaged the gasket when they changed the transmission oil pan gasket and the filter.
Well, and that wasn't very nice of them.
Well, here's what you should do. You should take it to a shop.
Okay.
Not the guys you took it to the first time.
Yeah, don't go back to them. Okay.
Well, no, if for no other reason than if there's something wrong, you want to get information. What do they call that?
Unbiased.
Unbiased. Yeah, and evidence. Yeah. Right.
Right.
You want to get unbiased information from some other repair person.
Okay.
So if that person says, "Oh yeah, they damaged the gasket, you've leaked out your fluid, and you may have cooked your transmission,"
okay,
then you may have a case against these guys, yeah, if they refuse to fix it.
Right.
So go someplace and get it checked.
Okay.
Seychelles, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Y'all have a wonderful show.
I love your name.
See you later.
You too.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Dickie in New Iberia, Louisiana.
Dickie?
Yes.
In New where?
New Iberia.
New Iberia.
Yes. New Iberia?
New Iberia.
Home of the hot sauce?
Home of the hot sauce.
Oh, my God. Tabasco sauce is made in New Iberia.
Well, it's in every island a couple of miles, the suburbs of New Iberia.
Yeah.
So is that where they make Frank's Louisiana hot sauce?
Yeah. Well, that's another little town further up. It's another suburb.
Oh, what's the other one? McElhaney's.
McElhaney's Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, that's Tabasco.
That's.
Now they make the gold over here too. Try the Bruce's is also from here.
Boy, Dickie, you are in the middle of hot. That's a hot country you're in.
It's a hot country.
Man, you lucky guy.
So, why did you call us today?
Well, this lady friend of mine drives a 91 Lexus 400.
Okay,
yeah.
And it's just broken in. It's just got a little over 100,000 miles on it. At any rate, she was on a trip here about 2 or 3 months ago. We get rain over here, like cow, type thing, and it comes down in bundles at one time.
Right, you get several inches at a time, right?
Well, this particular day we only had 4 inches.
Okay.
But she had to take a little trip up the road, about 75 miles, did her trip, and came back. Unrelated thing, her power steering hose broke, and she had to put it in the shop. And at the same time, her this particular automobile has an automatic tilt control. When you put the ignition on, the tilt control, the wheel tilts down.
Right.
Anyway, it didn't work. So I told him to look at it. So when he took the cover off of the steering column, water just poured out. I mean, yeah, literally poured out. There was a gallon or more water.
The water was inside the steering
inside
column?
Inside the steering column. He called the Lexus dealer and they said it couldn't happen.
Well, ha, ha. I think that... I will preface my remarks by saying,
yeah, go ahead.
I have
start hedging. Go ahead.
No, you know nothing about this, and you're making it up from the beginning.
No, I do know a little.
But your logic is unassailable.
No, I didn't say that either. But
is that it?
I'm one of the best extrapolators. I can take one scintilla of knowledge,
yeah,
and information,
yeah, and turn it into brain surgery,
and turn it into an entire treatise on the subject. Yeah. And this is what I'm going to attempt to do. And I'm confident, Dickie, that I can bamboozle you with this.
Go ahead.
Now my question is this: now.
Oh,
this young lady is 13 years younger than me. Should I keep dating her, or this car thing is just to get your attention? You said you'd ask her any questions.
Well, I was gonna get around to asking you about this,
and we don't want to know her age. But why don't you tell us your age?
Let's just say in the Second World War, I was around.
You were around. Well, considering the difference in your ages here, romance could be fatal, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
But as they say, if she dies, she dies.
My sentiments exact.
But I have to say, Dickie, that 13 is about the right number.
That's
a great age difference. 12 is actually optimal, but 13 is acceptable.
So he's 93 and she's 80. Well, hey,
why
heck?
Not?
Well, anyway.
All right, let's hear this theory.
I
it comes out through the top of the steering column.
Does it come out through the top of the steering column? Where this motor is, I believe, is further down in the
about
column.
About a foot down, if I recall.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, yeah. there is a sheathing that covers the lower end of the steering column on this vehicle. And that goes right through the, well, where the firewall meets the floor pan of the car. And I'm going to guess that that thing at the other end is broken at the end where it goes into the floor, and water is coming right up through there, especially during a heavy rain.
Really? From the bottom, you see?
From the, I think so.
What kept it in there?
Were there any fish in it? Yeah, well, see, I think your inclination would be to believe that the water is coming in from, like, the windshield.
Right.
But there's no way that it's going to get from the windshield, I don't think, into this thing. Although
well, you know, I threw water on it, did a water hose type thing, and no, it didn't.
Well, you'd have to throw a lot of water in there. If you want to verify that it's coming from the bottom, one of the easier ways to do it is to verify that it's not coming from the top.
Right.
But spraying water on there with a hose might not do it. You might have to leave the hose in one area for 10 minutes at a time, and then move over an inch, you know, all around the perimeter of the windshield, and then see if there's water in this thing. If that's the case, then it's coming in through the windshield. And that's a possibility, too. But I think it's coming in from the bottom.
Boy.
And of course, if you could trap a fish, then you'd know it wasn't coming in through the windshield. You'd know it was coming in through the bottom, because there like might be fish in some of those pumps.
Well, yeah,
you're driving
I could follow
through.
Him, couldn't I?
Exactly. Well, Dickie, I'm confident. So you're hoping to continue her interest in you by solving this problem?
Could be.
Well, don't tell her you called us. Just say, you know, I've been thinking about this, hon, and I'm pretty sure it's coming from the bottom. And actually, you could crawl around and maybe find a nice broken piece of plastic, and wouldn't that put you in good stead?
Good luck, Dickie. And remember, don't hurt your back crawling under there. Good luck, man.
All right, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, as
you know,
I'm...
Dickie's a guy you'd want to have coffee with, right?
Dickie sounds like a heck of a lot of fun. Look, I think it's time for us to take a little break. Would you agree?
It's good. I have to, because I have to deal with this invasive worm that I got over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? Can you make it to the IT department and back before our break's over?
IT department? I'm going to the nurse's office.
Woo!
We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute.
Wind blows fast round your neck like a hangman's noose. Whiplash pass on your back with the seatbelt loose. Dashboard drummer, get it done, gotta make it through. Defrost summon, I'll clear out the Syracuse.
Support for Car Talk at NPR comes from our new Vinnie Gumbat Somerville Shiraz, NPR member stations, and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, providing service for cars and trucks without an appointment, including evenings and weekends. Details at quicklane.com.
And Reputation.com, with tools to monitor and protect the online reputations of doctors, lawyers, and business professionals. Learn more at Reputation.com. And
Goodyear, where designing tires from the moon to the racetrack inspires what goes into tires for everyday driving. Goodyear, more driven.
And the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, removing eyesores from driveways, sending cash to NPR stations.
And even though the NPR softball team tries to trade us to the History Channel whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
I'm Krista Tippett. Conservative Christian voices are prominent in our most heated public debates. Next time on Being, I draw out the evangelical educator Richard Mao. He has wisdom on navigating fear and the temptation it brings to distort the truth about those we see as enemies. This is part of the Civil Conversations Project, healing our fractured civic spaces from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
You know, people develop strong attachments to their cars.
Yeah, and it's very hard to tell them. It's time to move on.
Something my brother's heard from every one of his wives.
Anyway, we have a way to ease the pain a bit. Now you can donate your car, and the net proceeds from its sale will benefit this station.
Interested? We thought so. Here's what to do.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
Support for Car Talk on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, supporting the many volunteer efforts of their teammates with gifts to community organizations that make Middle Tennessee a great place to call home. It's 20 minutes after 9, 79 degrees in Nashville.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a true technological breakthrough. Go,
yes,
Tommy.
Indeed. I'll read a letter that we got from Alan Stepakoff. Dear Tom and Ray, I was recently traveling on vacation with my wife and two sons, ages 10 and 12. We rented a fairly new Volvo S80, a very nice car with a totally unexpected feature, but one I may find mandatory on future purchases. This car came with a remote dope slap button.
Oh, really? Oh, I know.
You got it. I knew you'd have it. Having two sons who are frequently in need of a dope slap, my method is to turn around in my seat while driving and manually administer the necessary slap. But that's dangerous. Volvo, known for implementing the latest safety features, has proven that modern technology knows no bounds. I was pleasantly surprised to find that this model of car comes with the ability to administer a dope slap to the back seat occupants with the push of a button.
Yes, indeed.
You know what the button is, don't
you? I do.
A row of buttons just below the radio includes one with a picture of the back seat and a headrest. When pushed, the back seat headrests drop down, administering a dope slap to the top of the head of the rear seat occupant.
Yeah.
It just comes right down and boom! Although I could not control which headrest dropped, it didn't seem to matter, because when you press that button, both of them come down.
Right, right, exactly.
It didn't seem to matter, as both of the boys usually deserved a whack.
Right.
My compliments to the engineers at Volvo for solving one more nasty safety issue. Alan S. from Northridge, California. We too.
And if one got an unwarranted dope slap, it could be, you know, used for some future transgression. I mean, it's not like it wouldn't deserve it sooner or later.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, you do give someone a dope slap that he really was innocent and shouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But he won't forget.
And what happens if your mother-in-law is sitting in the house?
Hey, it's the dangers that you have to live with.
Exactly. Well, I lots of cars have that feature.
Actually, we noticed this in the Volvo because a friend of ours has an S80.
Right.
And when he first got it, he took us for a ride, and one of us accidentally, I guess, pressed the button and whack. I think it was my wife that got the dope slap.
Yeah, but she's giving you plenty back. Hey, look, those of you who are really missing the puzzle right about now, you know, we want to commiserate with you on what a pathetic, sad life you lead. I mean, if this is what you're looking forward to every week, it's pretty bad. But we'll also help you out later by telling you where to find this week's archival puzzler on the web, so stay tuned for that.
And if you have anything interesting that you run across, like stories of technological autocatalysis in the second millennium B.C., please send it to me. I love getting interesting stuff to read. Just send it to me at Mail for Tommy, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Mass. 02238.
Or you can email us from cartalk.com. And if you want to talk to us right now, and as always, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jay from Framingham, Mass.
How you doing?
Hey, what's happened, man?
Well, I own a 97 528i BMW.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
With about 104,000 miles, and recently did all brakes and rotors and all the way around. Now I'm into it a little bit, so I need to replace a leaking rack and pinion steering and do struts all the way around.
Okay.
Backyard mechanic that I am, I'm wondering about tackling the struts. I think I can handle that, having done the brakes.
The struts represent an element of danger that you may not be prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
As you know.
Yes.
they are a very, very highly compressed spring.
Right.
And you must further compress that. It's bad enough that it's already they compress, how they say, the bejesus out of it. But you must compress it even more.
Right. And 4,000 pounds is sitting on top of it to compress it now. And you've got to compress it even more. And you won't know that you didn't until you take it off. That's the sad part.
So what you have to do, if I don't know if you've read the book or you've assisted anyone in doing this, but you have to remove the strut from the car.
That's correct.
And then you have to attach to it a spring compressor.
That's what I was going to do. Yeah.
And do you have a spring compressor?
I have access to one, yes.
Hmm. What kind?
Brand-wise, I don't know.
Is it as big as you?
No.
It's no good.
It might be no good. I mean, the one we have at the shop is about as big as me.
How big are you?
About 5.5 feet, give or take a few inches. But it's attached to the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you put the thing in there, and it's got like a big wheel that you turn, and this thing just cranks down and grabs the spring and with these jaws and just... And compresses it, and then
until
you go
the
ahead.
Thing gets from 6 feet tall to about a foot.
Yeah, the kind you may have access to is the kind that has either a nut that you turn or a crank that you turn or
That's
some
correct.
Such thing. Yeah, I'm gonna have to advise against it.
Okay.
Only because.
Because you've used that type. We've had a couple of experiences with those.
Well, we had one break.
One of them accounts for the big hole in the ceiling.
And the other one, my brother's memory loss. We did have a spring one day. Our shop is, I think, 100 feet long. Mm-hmm. And we did have a spring compressor let go one day. And the spring where we do the work is in one corner. Before we had this very expensive machine and safe, I might add. Before we had that, we used to do it in one corner of the garage for obvious reasons. If anything ever happened, right. we wanted there to be only one victim. We wanted only one victim.
Yeah.
Like, oh, geez, he's not with us anymore. Yeah. But as luck would have it, the spring compressor failed, in fact, broke in half.
Oh.
And the spring and part of the spring compressor wound up at the farthest corner of the shop, over 100 feet away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I would say unless you have access to the real deal, what you could do, however, is you could find a shop that has a real spring compressor.
Yes.
Sure.
And say, look, I'm willing to pay you guys a few bucks. If I take each of them out and bring them to you in my other car, will you change over the struts and then I can just reinstall them? And you can save yourself some money doing that.
Sure.
And what was the other thing, the rack and pinion?
Well, I do have a rack and pinion that's leaking pretty good, actually, about a quarter week.
That's bad. Yeah, that's bad. Well, that's within your grasp.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, you have the usual assortment of wrenches and
full set, yeah.
Hacksaws and
blow torches.
You're all set. No, that just takes a little bit of patience, but you'll get that done. And there's no real danger involved.
Right.
And you can't hook it up wrong because it's only one way it goes in.
And I was told the cross member and then exhaust has to be disconnected and pulled aside. That sounds right.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. And the engine has to come apart. Don't worry about
everything has to come apart. Everything.
Yeah. But you'll get it. And while you're at it, when you get to the point where the struts fall out, then you'll be able to replace those too.
Well, that sounds great.
Look,
I'm all set.
Jay, call us around Christmas when you finish up.
Will do.
See you later.
Hey, good luck, and be careful.
Be careful is right.
Don't
bye-bye.
Be hurt. We need every listener we can get.
Yeah, they're dropping like flies. See you, Jay.
Take care now.
1-888.
No, he's got the right attitude. He's laughing. Yeah. We're telling him he's going to get killed, and he's laughing.
Yeah, well, that's the usual reaction. Yeah, he's got that can-do attitude.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you need that. I wonder how long that will last.
You and Stanley had that when you took the engine out of my truck.
Oh, and I'll tell you, we set some kind of a record.
You did, too.
We did. We set some kind of a record that day.
I was visiting my brother in his apartment, and I had at the time a Suburban. GMC Suburban, and I made the mistake of falling asleep
in front of the TV. Yeah, you were watching golf, as I recall.
That'll do it every time. And when I woke up, I went out to the sidewalk where my truck had been parked, and it was still there. And all of the pieces to the engine were on the sidewalk.
neatly placed.
Neatly placed. Yeah, I will admit it was a very neat job. Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to harvest the tomatoes growing out of Berman's desk chair?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we drag out a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was any good.
More importantly, why it wasn't. So who's our lucky contestant
it's
this week?
Michelle from Spokane, Washington. I know you're going to remember Michelle.
No.
Well, she had a philosophical question for us. Can $170 ever be too much to pay for a car?
It's coming back to me now.
Michelle called us a couple of years back because her new husband, Sean, had just bought her a $170 1974 Datsun pickup truck.
I remember.
Which was Michelle's dream car. Then Sean confesses that it's missing a rear window, and there's a tangle of wires on the front seat, and there are a few other things.
I'm standing there, and he's putting on the new gas cap, because he says, you know, it didn't come with one, and that's an overrated car part anyway.
Gas cap?
And then I
it's like worrying about the curtains on the Titanic. You've got a $170 time bomb here. You worried about a gas cap?
Well, and then I notice that it doesn't have seat belts, and he says, oh, it might need new brakes, a new engine, and a new clutch. And I said, uh-huh.
I have to say, before we discuss the individual issues here, that Sean is a man after my own heart. This sounds like a great vehicle. Man,
Jesus.
I love it already.
Every one of my brother's cars has been rescued from the scrap heap. I mean, he's been at the 11th hour. He's been there staying the hand of the guy about to throw the switch on the crusher.
Hey, that way the car owes you something, you know what I mean?
So what did we tell Michelle anyway?
Well, you deferred to me because of the philosophical nature of the question.
More likely the condition of the car dictated...
I told her she should spend the money, fix it up, and accept that it would not be trouble-free, but embrace that as part of the adventure of life. Basically, I said, go for it. You won't regret it, Michelle.
Okay, let's see how you did. Michelle, are you there?
I sure am.
All right, before we find out what happened, this doesn't sound good already.
I didn't like the tone of voice.
We need you, Michelle, to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, and I'm likely to speak in the future, I guess. Is that true?
That is true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or the home computer divorce program that we sent you.
That's also true.
So how did it all work out? Was it your dream car after all?
And are you still married?
Well, I'm still married, happily, but the car was definitely not the truck of my dream.
Oh. What happened?
You will notice, Michelle, you probably remember that I distanced myself from this entire discussion because I knew that my brother was going to give you bogus advice, and I just didn't want to be directly involved.
Well, actually, everything was going pretty well right after the show. He was driving it to and from school and work, which was our plan for the car.
Was driving it?
Well, yeah, and he wouldn't let me drive it, and we'll get to that a little later.
Yeah.
And he actually made some fairly interesting modifications. He actually installed a very sophisticated keyless ignition system. that one of the pieces that he didn't tell me when he got the truck was that it didn't actually come with keys. And that to turn it on, you had to do some sort of elaborate ritual where you honked the horn and some other thing.
And you throw a pinch of salt over your shoulder like that too, right? Yeah,
this is a vehicle for Jerry Olandella.
Right.
So he actually installed some sophisticated thing where you turned some switch where the headlights were supposed to be and then pressed some button where the radio was supposed to be, and that actually started the car. And there was actually something very complicated about that. Like, it seemed to me that when I was helping him fix it one time, that if you didn't do that in the right order, like, something very terrible could happen.
Yeah. Well, we had a fellow named, my brother just mentioned, named Jerry Orlandella, who worked for us for many years, and who decided that having switches for, like, you know, the blower motor and the windshield wipers and the directionals was taking too much of a chance because switches fail. Uh-huh. So he removed all that stuff and left all the wires dangling. under the dash. And when he needed wipers, he would reach down. He'd send me, say, I got to twist a blue and then a white with a blue stripe and a red. Okay, I got low speed. Headlights, yeah, that's the white wire and the brown wire. And
he had all the wires memorized, and he could do anything that you could do with switches.
And nobody could steal his car because then he didn't say, what the heck? Somebody was already here trying to steal it. So you had a similar car.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
So that was there, and he also did some other sort of cosmetic modifications. He painted some beautiful flames on the hood, which were really attractive, but I was always a little fearful that that was sort of...
My brother always goes for the real flames.
Well, exactly. I was afraid that that was what was to come, that these flames were foreshadowing something.
Yes, yes. They were tempting the fate, so to speak.
So he did some other things. You know, he got a gas cap. He put some seat belts in. It was running great. Everything was fine. It was starting to come together. And then one day he was driving it, and apparently it started blowing white smoke and just stopped.
Head gasket blew.
Well, that's what he thought. So he got the gaskets to replace the head gasket. And when he actually opened up the engine, it looked like the head was actually warped. Mm-hmm. And here's where it gets sketchy because I don't understand mechanical stuff.
This is when you went to visit your mother, right?
Well, this is where I just kind of sat in the house. But he then got a new head for the thing. He had it machined, apparently, and actually could never just get it back together. So that's the answer. That's the end of it, is that it worked great until he broke it, and now he can't fix it. And those are his words. So it's sort of sitting in our carport, but now we've actually demoted it to sort of the yard next to the carport.
And he just can't let go, can he?
Well, he can't let go. I can't let go. And the frank matter is that we would have to pay someone to tow this thing, and I'm not sure that that's really what, you know, that's going to be worth it.
Yeah, well, see, I've misunderstood everything here because I thought that this car was for you.
Well, it was for me. I mean, it was the idea was that he was going to fix it up, and then it was going to be my dream.
Oh, but see, he fell in love with it, and he didn't want to give it to you.
Well, but, I mean, he didn't want to try to teach me how to start the darn thing.
No, I think, Michelle, that this was his dream car. I don't think he ever intended to drive it.
I don't think he ever did either.
He would have put one stumbling block after another in front of you. And of course, this is the ultimate. I bet you, late at night, if you go check, he sneaks out of bed. And he's out there sitting in the truck.
Well, that could be. I can assure you it's not moving.
In the dark. Yeah, he ain't driving.
It's not moving.
He's just sitting there and breathing heavy. Anyway.
Oh, well.
At
least you're still married.
We're still married. We still have the truck. So, you know, it's not over yet.
It's
not over yet. Well, we'll call you back in another year.
Well, maybe you should. By then, something may have happened.
We will. Someone's going to keep an eye on you, too.
Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Michelle.
Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jeez. Well, she sounds like a lot of fun. She could take a joke, too.
Oh, man. Well, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com, will you?
All right. We seem to have made it through the first two halves of today's show without totally embarrassing ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
I was.
All right. We'll be back with more of your calls and some unfortunate news. Someone has caught on to our scheme.
The show's canceled?
No, not that scheme. Not yet, anyway. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
He had the coolest car I ever saw. It was long, it was low, and I pounded it with all. Had a two-tone paint job. Without a single flaw, it was the coolest car I ever saw.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from the kids' birthday parties at our garage, now featuring blowtorch fights at no extra cost from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Just Answer,
whose website lets people chat one-on-one with professional mechanics, doctors, lawyers, and other experts 24/7
at justanswer.com. And
Lumber Liquidators, providing hardwood flooring for the home, handyman, and professionals. Catalogs are available. 1-800-HARDWOOD. And
Angie's List, provider of local consumer reviews on contractors and doctors, now has reviews on classic car professionals. Details at angieslist.com.
And even though the NPR Fire Brigade runs a drill and chops down the studio door whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Childhood can be the only time that we do not allow for uneven abilities. Children are expected to be reasonably adept in nearly everything. When a child shows gifts in one area and weaknesses in another, some schools find it hard to meet that child in both places. Curry Ingram recognizes children have areas where they excel and areas where they need help. This is why Curry Ingram offers individualized learning plans and differentiated instruction, challenging students in their strengths and addressing their needs.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably, donate it to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
Support for our programming this morning on WPLN is made possible in part by community support. Many companies will match gifts to Nashville Public Radio made by employees and retirees. Ask your employer if they have a matching gift program, or find out more in the membership section of our website at WPLN.org. Coming up at about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock is Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Right now the time is 9:40, and it's 82 degrees in Nashville.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and they noticed.
Here's an interesting observation from a listener. It comes from a guy named Rick Letal from Marble Hill, Missouri. Here's what he writes. As I heard on your show a few weeks ago, the Puzzler is on a, quote, well-deserved vacation.
Yes.
If my numbers are reasonably close, the Puzzler works about 4 minutes per show. About two-minute segments. He's about right about that.
4 minutes. I'm doing the math.
And
myself.
Does about 45 shows a year. If this is correct, it would seem that the Puzzler gets 2 months of vacation for working 3 hours per year. Bad.
I don't like where this is going either.
I, on the other hand, work about 3,000 hours per year, and I get less than 1 month of vacation.
So we work 3 hours. The Puzzler works 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
And gets, okay, and he works 3,000 hours.
And gets
hours.
2 months of vacation.
2 months. So he's getting half as much.
Yeah.
He's getting half, he's getting 1/2,000th as much as the Puzzler.
So, he says, if the Puzzler worked under my contract, he or she would have to work about 2,000 years before getting a 2 month vacation.
Yeah.
Obviously, a second option would be for me to adopt the Puzzler's work ethic and take the next 2,000 years off. Rick, why don't you mind your own business?
Well, Rick, you're just a chump, man. That's all. I mean, you know.
Well, he is right.
Well, no, he is. He is and he isn't. I mean, the Puzzler, don't forget, has been working for 5 or 6 thousand years. I mean, these Puzzlers don't just
That's
appear.
True.
I mean, these represent the efforts of thinking people, you know,
hundreds
puzzle masters,
of
hundreds of them.
He hasn't added the number of people involved.
When we use these puzzles, we are merely standing on the shoulders of giants. You know?
Yeah, sure.
You know, when I use a puzzler, it may have come from Eratosthenes. We don't know where these puzzles
come
from.
We don't know.
From.
That's true.
We just steal them.
That too.
Get over it, Rick. By the way, if complete and total relaxation isn't your cup of tea and you want a puzzler with which to annoy yourself, don't forget that every week the Puzzler's away, we post an archival puzzler over at the website.
Yeah, where there are also plenty of other things to get your blood pressure cooking. I know because I wrote most of them. That's at cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carol from beautiful Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina. How y'all?
Hi, Carol. Wrightsville Beach.
You know, I'm a transplant here from New York City. I'm a barber.
Really?
I used to sell cars, so I'm still clipping people.
Have you ever seen... You're still clipping people. I like that. Have you ever seen a picture of my brother?
No.
Oh, this is... His head of hair is enough to make any barber quit. Yeah. In fact, the barber that he was using had to sneak him in under the cover of darkness, usually. He didn't want anyone to know that he was cutting hair like this.
But, you mean he's hirsute challenged?
He's
I am hirsutely challenged.
He's got plenty of hair. It just all goes in different directions. So anyway, what's the nature of your call?
I have a 1994 Infiniti, which I love. and I have a little bit of a claustrophobia problem, and I love to have the sunroof open all the time.
Yeah.
And I love to have the air conditioner on, mm-hmm. blowing cool air in my face with the hot sun coming down. I feel very good.
And but flying right out the sunroof.
Well, that's the question, because my fiancé says I'm ruining the compressor part of the air conditioner at the expense of feeling good with the roof open and the sun coming in.
Yeah, he's right.
Well, no.
But so what?
I don't think he's necessarily right. No, I mean, if you had the air conditioner on full blast.
No, I don't have it on. I have it on about 74.
No, but if you did, and you certainly could.
Right.
And, you know, if you would call this up and say, look, I can't stand the heat here in North Carolina. I have the air conditioner on full tilt all the time from March to October, and I never open a window a crack, and the thing, I don't, it gets to be 50 in the car, and that's good for me. That's what I like.
Yes.
Would she be ruining the air conditioner?
She would be wearing it out faster than if she weren't so crazy. If you just use your air conditioner like a normal, sane person, you get in.
Oh, we know Carol.
We know Carol is on the hairy edge here.
But
it's the same as you would ruin your refrigerator motor if you left the door of the refrigerator open all day.
No.
Is it not analogous?
No. And here's why. When you set the refrigerator to cold, if you left the door open all day, the thing would run continuously.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, but she's not setting it to maximum cold. She's setting it to some lower temperature.
Doesn't matter.
Well, she's making it work harder, I will admit.
That's all she's saying.
But is she ruining it?
Oh.
And I contend, no, she isn't, because I don't think she's making it work harder than the air conditioner of somebody in Florida, where it's 99 degrees all the time and the thing is working continuously. I think by the time you will have burned it out, the car will be burned out.
Yeah, because it's a 94. It has 108,000 miles.
And you've been doing this
it.
Since you got the car.
Yes.
And
yes.
You haven't burned it out yet.
No.
Tell your fiance to shut up.
I'm with you. All right, thank you all. Come on down to Wrightsville Beach. Bye-bye.
If ever we want to get clipped, we'll come down. See you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Bob from Gig Harbor, Washington.
Bob, Gig Harbor.
That two G's or three?
One, G-I-G.
G-I-G. Gig Harbor, Washington.
What's up, Bob?
I got an 88 Sable with a 3.8 liter engine.
Yeah.
It sucked a sock down the intake manifold.
Whoa.
I was working on it, and I was replacing an injector, so I had the part of the manifold off. I put a sock in there so I wouldn't drop anything into the
And then you
engine.
Forgot it was there, put it together, started it up.
And I got about a mile. I got to the freeway, and when I punched it down, it died a very violent death.
Sure it did.
Jeez.
It's a common thing. I mean, if you look up in the technical service bulletins, it has directions on what to do if you suck a sock. I've looked at it many times.
So I towed it home, and I thought I'd just look in there, take the manifold off, and there'd be a half a sock or something.
Well, the important question is, was this a cotton sock, or was it some kind of a nylon, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was probably 80% cotton, 20% nylon. It was one of those big athletic socks, size 13.
Oh, no, those are good. Those are mostly cotton.
Yeah.
So that'll burn then.
Cotton's pretty combustible. Nylon burns, too, but it makes a gooey mess.
Well, that's what I thought.
Cotton leaves a nice ashy, white ashy residue.
What's this going to do to my catalytic converter?
You don't have one anymore.
Does the car still run?
Well, it does because it quit, and I said, oh, this isn't happening. I'll just start it again and drive away. And when I started it, it runs like some cars, if you shut them off, they still run on. It sounded kind of like that, made lots of noises.
I mean, it's very, very hard to believe that a size 13 sock could get through an intake valve.
Well, when I took that manifold off, there were little, like, burnt bits of lint throughout the intake manifold.
Oh, so you did. You took the manifold off.
Yeah.
But I have trouble understanding where the sock went, tell you the truth.
Oh, it got distributed, I think, pretty evenly among the six cylinders.
Well, that's...
Gee, it's really hard to believe,
Well, don't
though.
Forget the forces. The suction is pretty intense, and I think it just tore that sock apart.
Well, that's what I was hoping. Could it get stuck like under the valve and cause a burnt valve or?
Well, it may cause a valve. No, I mean, at
this
point.
That's what the noise is, I think. I think you've got valves that are trying to close and they can't.
Okay.
And what you're hearing is the camshaft smashing against it.
Yeah, you have excessive valve lash. I mean,
how much room is there between a? Is there a sock's worth of room between a piston and a valve? Or?
Boy,
between the piston and the top of the cylinder. Oh, sure. Size 13. No, maybe size 11.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know. Should I just start it up and hope it'll burn out, or can I do more damage than?
Well, let's look at what it could do.
Okay.
I don't know what it could do, but I mean, you need to find out, Bob, for all of humanity.
I mean, here's what could have happened. Assuming that it got torn up, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's enough force. I think that sock is laying there in the intake manifold someplace.
Oh, I searched thoroughly.
You took the manifold off.
I took the manifold off.
And you could see each one of the valve ports at that point.
Yeah.
And you could see pieces of material in each one of them, I bet.
A little bit of lint, yeah,
in
everywhere.
Each one, yeah, no, it got shredded. Well, you know what you need? I think what you need is a quart of sock solvent. Yeah, you need something that... What would eat up cotton?
My son's feet. You need the feet of a teenage boy.
I know sulfuric acid eats up almost every material.
Including pistons. That's a problem.
Well, a few shows ago, you guys talked about pouring rice in the carburetor. Somebody did to clean it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. No, don't listen to stupid things like that.
I mean, you haven't run this for more than like 10 minutes, right?
Oh, yeah. Not even that much.
No, I think you're a little bit timid here, and I think you need some encouragement from us. I think.
Be careful now, because I'm worried that the sock is going to get stuck.
The sock
wall.
Trust me, the sock is no more. First of all, the whole sock could never get sucked through the valve.
No, I don't mean the sock, but the pieces of the sock that are now in the cylinders.
They're going to get burned up. It's hot in there, man. Flames.
I burned a sock in my backyard with the propane torch to see what happened.
Oh, the other one, right? You might as well burn the other one out.
Excellent. How did it work?
I think it's treated or something with anti-flammables. It didn't burn very well.
Oh, no, but it'll burn there.
Okay.
I think you ought to put it together and just run it. And I think what you'll notice is one of two things will happen. Either after a few minutes, it'll begin to run better and better and better.
Okay.
And maybe after 10 minutes or so, you won't know that anything had ever happened.
Or after about a minute, it'll stop running completely and it will never run again.
Right.
Well, that's what I was hoping you would say.
Well, I mean,
the worst I can do is have to overhaul the engine and...
Yeah, I mean, because the alternative is at this point to take it all apart. And what's the sense of that? I mean, if you need to take it apart, you want serious justification for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
Yeah, my guess is that the remains of the sock will eventually plug up if they haven't. I mean, well, not yet because you haven't run it long enough. But in the next hour that you run it, they'll plug up the catalytic converter, and you'll have to replace that. You may have two of them on this car.
I think so. I think
you may have. Converters. They're up like $1,000 a piece. I don't think I'd be too worried.
Oh, Bob, you can take a joke.
For the warmth of the sock, the kingdom was lost.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, I wrote a book about the big book of swear words.
Well, you sound like you're pretty philosophical about it now. I mean, you're not...
Yeah. So it didn't really burn that well, huh, the second sock?
What did you married?
Well, for now.
For now.
It's her car, actually.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah, I if it were my car,
okay,
I'd put it all back together and I'd start it up. I wouldn't rev it. I would just start it up and
let it idle.
Hope that it ran and let it idle for as long as it takes to idle smoothly. And then I'd take it for a little jaunt around the block, and little by little, I think my hope and prayer would be that it would just gradually smooth right out and you wouldn't even know anything happened.
And then work on your explanation of how this is the way the car always has run for your wife, because you're going to have to explain to her how it really runs on only five cylinders most of the time.
Or she did this somehow.
Or somehow she did it, right.
Yes.
Good luck, Bob. Boy.
Thank you very much.
Does she know what happened?
I think so.
You just think so.
I worked on it, and now it doesn't work. That's what she knows.
Oh, she doesn't know about the sock. No, I mean,
no,
a sock
exactly.
could,
no.
A sock could disappear anywhere.
And
I mean,
they disappear in the laundry all the time.
Exactly. And you've, in fact, you destroyed the mate.
Yeah.
You destroyed the mate to this, so you've destroyed all the evidence. You've covered your tracks. She's not going to have, if she looks in your sock drawer, a sock without a mate.
Yeah.
So
nice
that's
work.
Good.
That's good.
That was good. That was good thinking, Bob.
Yeah, and we won't tell her about the sock.
Well, look, I think you should run right out and run this thing, because we're going to call you back soon, within a week or two, for Stump the Chumps. I mean, this if ever there was a call worthy of Stump the Chumps, this is it.
Oh, this could be a good one.
This will be a good one. And I predict, I will go out on a limb and predict that within a half an hour of running this thing,
I'm with you, man.
It runs great.
I wish I could disagree, but I'm with you all the way.
Good luck, Bob.
I'm hoping for the best. Thanks, guys.
See you. Yep. Bye. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Don't suck a sock.
Boy, how stupid must he have felt, huh?
I can just say, oh, the sock! As soon as it stopped there on the highway. Oh, the sock.
Yeah, that sinking feeling like, oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, that's the feeling I had when I forgot to tighten the lug nuts on the left front wheel of my little Triumph.
Mm.
And I knew the second that wheel fell off at 65 miles an hour that why it fell off. All the lug nuts. Oh, my God.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenalosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. We had help this week from Connie Britchford. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor just back from the Baltimore Apple Corps Petit Four Roasted Boar Lobster Thermidor Fat Galore Food Tour is John Bugsy Lawler.
In the studio with us as we speak.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Hey, Would You Buzz Off? Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff disciplinarian is Juan Demerit. Our ethics director is Maura Lee Flexible. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our employee morale boost is our
practical joke evaluator.
Oh, that's a good one, huh?
Oh, that's a good
one. Our employee morale boost is our Phil the Crap and his brother Luke the Crap. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our staff urologist is Pete Shadil. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother's support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the academics without summer houses moping through Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't forget.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1134, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week, you can check us out on Twitter.
That's right. If we're not annoying enough once a week, now you can get several tweets a day from us.
We use it as our news feed.
That's right. Like, here's a recent headline that we sent out. Chrysler recalls 300,000 minivans for airbag problems. You can bring it in now, or just wait a few days until the transmission goes.
Yeah.
You can check out the latest tweets and sign up to follow us all from our homepage at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Esurance, providing car insurance shopping tools like real-time comparison quotes and coverage counselors. Learn more at esurance.com. And
the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, working to help reverse the childhood obesity epidemic at rwjf.org. And
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though mayors in at least two villages look up and say, "Are we missing our idiot?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
And this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming comes from WPLN listener members and from Harding Academy, a kindergarten through eighth grade coeducational school, offering a caring educational environment coupled with rigorous academics. Admissions information at hardingacademy.org. Nashville weather for today, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies and the high in the mid-90s. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, the low in the lower 70s. And for Sunday tomorrow, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, the high in the lower 90s tomorrow. Right now, it's 83 degrees in Nashville.